1 Kings chapter 10. When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true, but I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half of it was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your people must be, how happy your officials, who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country.
New Testament reading from John chapter 1, John's Gospel chapter 1, verses 35 to 46. John 1, 35 to 46. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. It's really true. That could apply to both our readings this morning, couldn't it? The Old Testament reading about the Queen of Sheba and the New Testament reading about the disciples coming to Jesus. It's really true. I switched the sound, don't I? Hopefully, there we are. King Solomon's Temple. What an amazing structure that must have been. We've been reading about it recently in our daily readings. No expense was spared, was it, in building this magnificent temple? It took about 10 years to build, I believe, if I'm correct in remembering that. And Solomon had thousands of people engaged in building it. And he gave his very best for God. It was for God's glory it was built. And so Solomon put his very best into that building, a place that would honour God. And the inside of the temple also was very amazing. Covered in gold. Solomon covered the inside of the temple with pure gold and he extended gold chains across the front of the inner sanctuary, which was overlaid with gold. So he overlaid the whole interior with gold. He also overlaid with gold the altar that belonged to the inner sanctuary. Just imagine this church covered in gold, every part of it, from floor to ceiling, covered in gold. Can't imagine it, can you? Well, that's what Solomon did in this wonderful temple, covered in gold. There's once an agnostic who said this: I can't prove that there's no God, but I'm so sure that there's not that I don't want to waste my time. He wouldn't take the trouble. He was so sure in his own mind it couldn't be true, there was a God, therefore he wouldn't bother even to find out. Now, the Queen of Sheba wasn't like that, was she? She'd heard rumours about Solomon. And we read, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship with the Lord, she came to test Solomon with hard questions. Now, she could have said, it can't be true. Can't really be a king like that. There can't really be a temple like that and a palace like that. And it's not worth bothering to even find out. It's a long way to go to find out the truth. She could have said, I can't be bothered. I'm not going to take the trouble. She'd heard the rumours. There was no internet in those days, of course, or television, anything like that. It was probably spread by the camel caravans travelling from one country to the other, bringing the news with them. There's this amazing king up in Israel. Got this massive palace and massive temple covered in gold. And he's the wisest person who ever lived. She could have said, can't be true. Can't believe that. But she was curious. She wanted to find out if it was true. So she took the trouble to find out. It was no mean feat, you know. Because, now people aren't absolutely sure where Sheba was. Some think it was in Ethiopia. The majority of Bible scholars think it was in where we now, what we now call Yemen. Wherever it was a long journey. 1,000 miles as the crow flies, even further probably following the what they call the frankincense trail, which would have wound around the mountains and so on. So wasn't hopping on a plane like we could now, a few hours of flying. It was many weeks of an arduous journey through desert terrain. But she was willing to take the trouble, to take that long journey to find out the truth, to go and to find Solomon. And so we read there, arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon. That difficult journey, weeks of travel, lots of servants with her carrying loads of stuff, but she took that trouble to travel 1,000 miles or more to find out the truth about Solomon. Now, when she got there, she said to the king, there she is, arriving, picture of her arriving at the king's palace. Sumptuous palace it was, wasn't it, too? He spent years building that, didn't he, beside the temple? But she arrived there and she was, you might say, she was gobsmacked when she saw what it was like, when she met Solomon. And she said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you far exceeded the report I heard. Not only was it true, it was even more amazing than she could have imagined it was. She couldn't have imagined how wonderful it was, how wise Solomon was too. And so her journey wasn't wasted. It was worth it. It's really true, I've met him. She go back to Sheba and say, it's all true, I've met him. He's all they've said he is. In fact, he's even more wonderful than we'd heard. Solomon, the great, wise, rich king. Now remember Solomon, when he asked God, God asked him what he wanted to give him. He didn't ask for riches, he asked for wisdom. And God said, because you haven't asked for riches, I'll give you wisdom and riches too. And so Solomon was very rich, very wise. He wrote the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, lots of wisdom there. However, sadly, the story of Solomon didn't end well, did it? Sadly, it didn't. It started off so good. He had everything made for him. He had God on his side. He had God's wisdom. He had riches, and yet It didn't end well with him. If you go a few chapters further on into 1 Kings, chapter 11, we read, King Solomon, however, that word however, remember that, however. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women, besides Pharaoh's daughter, his wife, that was. They were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely as David his father had done. How tragic, isn't it? To start so well, to have everything made for him. God had given him everything he wanted, and yet he wasn't satisfied. He had to go after these foreign women. He had to go. He wasn't content with what he had. How tragic. And of course, when leaders go wrong, then inevitably their nation goes wrong, doesn't it? Bad leadership has consequences. And Solomon's fall from grace had consequences too. Sad consequences for his nation. Not long afterwards, the kingdom was divided between Israel and Judah. Jeroboam became king of Israel, Rehoboam king of Judah. They went on to exist as two independent kingdoms, often fighting each other. They could have remained together had it not been for Solomon and his sin, his falling away into temptation. And so the tragedy was the kingdom was split. And then that wasn't the end of it either. Solomon was flawed. Yes, he was. We're all flawed, aren't we? God uses flawed people, of course. But not long afterwards, those two were split. Israel had Samaria at capital and Judah, Jerusalem. Not long afterwards, in fact, it was in 730 BC, Assyria invaded Israel and the people were exiled to Assyria. And then Judah's turn came as well. In about 587 BC, the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar, they'd been ruling in a sense for quite a few years, but eventually the king of Judah rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and they had a siege lasting a number of years. The city was besieged all around it. Eventually, the wars were broken down in about 587 BC. And so Nebuchadnezzar's army came in. They set fire to God's temple, broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried off into exile to Babylon the remnant who had escaped from the sword. That lovely temple that Solomon spent 10 years building, overlaid with gold, that wonderful building, left a smouldering ruin. All because Solomon had gone away from the Lord. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. God's house destroyed. And they were taken off for 70 years exile. Now God always keeps his promises. He promised that after 70 years, the remnant would return to Judah. And they did. If you read on in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, you will read how God moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to allow the exiles to return. Another interesting thing, see, when Nebuchadnezzar sacked the temple, they took off all the gold and silver objects, all the utensils, all the cups and everything, to Babylon. They were all brought back when they returned. They were all brought back from Persia back to Jerusalem again. And so they rebuilt the temple. It wasn't a patch on Solomon's temple, of course, but nonetheless, they did eventually rebuild it. You'll read about it in Ezra and the book of Nehemiah. Against great odds, they rebuilt that temple. So Solomon's beautiful temple was trashed, left a ruin. But there were consequences, you see, wasn't there? Solomon went away from the Lord. The nation followed. And tragedy happened. It's always the same, isn't it? When leaders turn against God, so goes the people as well. The Babylonians destroyed the temple, the city, and took the people away. But there were some who came back. Those who survived, of course, some obviously died in Babylon. But the remnant came home, came back, continue the nation of Israel, the Jews, of course, who had to be there for Jesus to come through them eventually. But lessons we can learn from that, isn't it? God uses flawed people, certainly does, But if we fall away, there are consequences, aren't there? Now we just turn to our New Testament reading. In a moment we will, but first of all, from Matthew 12, Jesus was talking to the Jewish leadership. They wouldn't accept him as their Messiah. He said to them, "The Queen of the South," that's the Queen of Sheba, "came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now something greater than Solomon is here." They wouldn't accept him, and yet he was saying to them, "Look, I'm greater than Solomon." And all who turn to him in simple faith, of course, get much more than Solomon had, don't they? Not riches in this world's standards, but spiritual riches, which the world can never provide for us. Someone Solomon, greater than Solomon, has come. That's Jesus. And he offers us so much when we turn to him in faith. Something that Solomon's wealth even couldn't buy. Greater than Solomon. And Paul wrote in Colossians 2, "In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Yes, in Jesus we have wonderful riches, don't we? Riches beyond compare. More than we could ever hope or imagine. I love this verse from Ephesians. "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." I like that word lavish, don't you? God's not niggardly. He's so generous. He lavished these things on us. Didn't deserve it. We don't deserve anything from God. But he chooses to lavish these things on us when we come to him in faith. God is so generous. How wonderful. These wonderful spiritual riches, which he gives us freely when we turn to him, believe in Jesus dying for us on the cross, then we receive these wonderful riches freely. Money can't buy them. We can't earn them, but they're a gift to us. The human beings are incurably religious, aren't they? Wherever archaeologists go, they find ruins. They always find evidence of religion. Wherever you go to the remotest tribes in the remotest jungle, you will find they have a religion. They believe in some being somewhere, some being that's higher than them. It may not be the true God, but there will always be something that people believe in. It's always been ever since human beings were created, because God has made us in his image for him, to have fellowship with him. And until we find that relationship, we're not satisfied. So people follow all kinds of avenues, mostly wrong avenues, don't they, to find what they need. But this is a human, unique to human beings. Monkeys don't have religion, do they? You don't see monkeys worshipping God and praying and that kind of thing. Or no animals do. But human beings always have this sense of wanting something more. Now, people often look elsewhere. They look at New Age ideas, for example, and even possessions. They think that will meet their needs, but it won't, of course. Only God can meet that need that he's planted in us. If only there were more people like the Queen of Sheba, who were willing to search and find the truth. Jesus promised, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." He promised, "Those who seek will find." The Queen of Sheba was willing to search, take the trouble to go, find out the truth. She was rewarded. And that's still the same today. People who take the trouble to search, find out the truth, they will be rewarded. She came from the ends of the earth, Jesus said. We only have to take a step of faith, not the ends of the earth, do we? Just take a step of faith and believe in Jesus and we're rewarded. How simple could it be? And yet so many people think they have to do something, don't they? They can't believe it's free to have salvation and God's forgiveness. They have to do something to earn it. But we can't earn it. It's a free gift. We sang that hymn earlier, "All I Once Held Dear." Paul wrote, didn't he, that he thought he'd everything he needed at one time. He was a Pharisee, high up in the Jewish religion, keeping the law to the letter. Surely he thought, I've got what I need to please God. But when he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, of course, that all changed, didn't it? He realized then that he didn't have all he needed. In fact, all he once thought was so precious to him was now worth Nothing. He said it was trash, rubbish, all he once held dear. Because the wonderful fact of knowing Jesus and the riches he gave him far surpassed all he once held dear. All I once held dear, I now can't count as loss for the sake of knowing him. And so people will never find what they need in this world by pursuing this world's riches. They'll only find it in Jesus, those spiritual riches. The Queen of Sheba went to the ends of the earth. It would be like that in her day, wouldn't it? Travelling all that way to find out the truth. And when she got there, what did she say? The half was never been told. It's better than I thought. I couldn't have imagined how wonderful this would be. It wasn't too good to be true. In fact, when we come to Jesus in faith, it's not too good to be true. It's better than we could ever imagine what he gives us, what he offers us. It's not too good to be true. The half has not been told. Blessings far beyond expectations come to those who take that step of faith, believe in Jesus. Jesus told a parable about a man who found a treasure hidden in a field. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all he had and bought that field. All he had was nothing compared to that treasure he found. Jesus said, that's what it's like coming to know me and becoming part of God's kingdom. It's a treasure. It's worth giving everything up for, as Paul found, it's worth giving everything up for the wonderful joy and the privilege of knowing Jesus. All I once held dear, this is nothing. Jesus gave up the riches of heaven, didn't he? To give us eternal life. Paul wrote, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Just think what Jesus gave up. We can't imagine, can we, what he gave up, really, can we? The glory of heaven. He'd been there from eternity with his Father. To give all that up. To empty himself. To become a servant. Even to going to the cross for us. He gave all that up so that we could be forgiven. And then he rose from the dead to give eternal life to all those who turned to him in faith. But when we repent, we have to repent. We don't need to search. He's come to search for us. We sang, he is seeking the wanderers still. So why do they roam? He came to seek us. And then we can say, when we meet him, it's true. I've met him. It's really true. It's better than I ever thought it would be. If you don't know Jesus, then remember, it's even better than you can imagine if you come to him in faith. In that New Testament reading, we read about the first disciples being called. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. Find out for yourself. Come and see. The invitation. Queen of Sheba went to see. And so Nathanael went and found out it was true. Come and see. Isn't that what we as Christians should be seeking to do? To invite people who don't know him to come and see? Don't take our word for it. Come and see. Find out for yourself. We found it's true. We found it works. We found Jesus is real. Come and see. Test it out for yourself. It is real. We used to sing this song many years ago. Some of you may remember it. Can it be true, the things they say of you? You walked this earth, sharing with friends you knew, or that they had the work, the joy, the pain, that we might find the way to heaven again. Yes, it is true. It is really true. Absolutely true. A famous scientist, Sir James Simpson, he discovered chloroform. Wonderful discovery. But, you know, when he was asked what his greatest discovery was, he said, my greatest discovery is Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour. That was his greatest discovery. Have you made that discovery? Found Jesus for yourself? What lessons can we learn from this story about the Queen of Sheba. But it's worth making the effort to find out the truth. Human leaders, like all of us, are flawed, as Solomon was. The one who is greater than Solomon won't let us down and is worthy of our trust, knowing him is the greatest treasure. The psalmist said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Now, I can't prove to you what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, but I can just say, try it for yourself. Taste and see. Check it out for yourself, and you will find it's true. It's worth the effort. But it's no effort, really. It's just a step of faith, isn't it? So if you've never taken that step of faith, then do it now. 68 years ago, I took that step of faith. He's never let me down. I've let him down lots of times, of course. He's never let me down. He's a faithful friend, a saviour to those who believe. Knowing him is the greatest treasure. Like the Queen of Sheba, you'll find out it's really true, as millions have down through the centuries. When we take that step, we can never exhaust the riches of God's grace. There's always more for us. So often we're just paddling in the shallows, aren't we? We need to plunge into the ocean of God's grace and always find there's more. Amen. Let's pray. God, our Father, we do thank you for the riches of your grace so freely given to us in Jesus. Thank you for sending the one who is greater than Solomon, your Son, who saves us through his death on the cross. We thank you that through him we can receive restoration, forgiveness, and the promise of eternal life with you. Lord, may each one of us here know that this morning, that he is our Saviour, our Lord, that we have this assurance that nothing can separate us from his love. And please, Lord, give us the strength and the power to follow him faithfully, enjoying those spiritual treasures only he can give. Riches of your grace, so freely given and yet provided at such a cost. Lord, forgive us that so often we aren't so faithful to you as we should be. Help us to give our best to you, our very best in every way. We pray this morning the gifts your people give here will be used by you, that your kingdom may grow. And may more and more people discover your riches for themselves, willing to make the effort to find out the truth, like the Queen of Sheba. Those of us who know him already, may we have the courage to say to people, come and see, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.